From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. This week marks the third year of COVID-19 here in Idaho. The virus was officially found in the Gem State on Friday, March 13th, 2020. A Boise woman was the first to be officially infected. At that point, Governor Brad Little signed an emergency declaration, and he held the first of dozens of news conferences to talk about his response to the virus. And there's more on the origins of COVID in the U.S. Congress right now, as well, as we mark this three-year anniversary. So joining us to talk about this is Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. He is a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. We want to welcome you back to the show, Dr. Pate.
Thank you, Gemma.
So, Dr. Pate, I want to go back to 3 years ago, because first off, I can't believe it's been that long. And secondly, you know, I remember very vividly those days. And part of it is I think it's those times where you'll never forget where you were or what you were doing. And
yes.
you had just retired. Here
yes.
you were, right? And then this happens. Take us back to, you know, what you were seeing, what your concerns were, et cetera.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's surreal to really think about it being 3 years ago. But I had told the board a year ahead that of my intentions to retire, so that they had ample time to identify my successor. And of course, at that time, we had no idea that this pandemic was headed our way. Even by the time I did retire at the end of January, the reports we were getting from the World Health Organization and from the CDC were really, in a way, minimizing the concern I had, because they were saying, you know, we're not seeing human to human, we're not seeing much human to human transmission. It was droplets and didn't seem to be airborne. And so a lot of these things were reassuring to me, and I frankly was not alarmed at that time. When I first became alarmed was in February, if my memory serves me well, is that we had the first cases in the U.S. showing up, and particularly in Washington State, obviously our next door neighbor. And so that got my attention, as well as what I was seeing now in reports of what had happened in China with hundreds of healthcare workers infected in China, which told me this is more contagious than they're letting us know. In addition, we saw a big outbreak in a nursing home facility in Washington, and I no longer believed that there was any barrier to human transmission, and probably it was not simply droplets. It was probably far more contagious than that. And that was about the time that I received the call from the governor asking me if I would serve on this task force, which I readily certainly agreed to do if the governor thought he could benefit from my service. So, you know, right about the time that we had our first case in Idaho, as you mentioned, back in early part of March, close to the middle part, you know, I was getting fairly concerned. So it was, and there was so much that we didn't know. And of course, at that time, we knew this was in the category of the severe acute respiratory syndrome viruses, and we had a prior experience with that kind of virus back in 2003. So I was really concerned about how deadly this virus could be.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Pate, looking back too, we should note that even though COVID was officially found in Idaho here on March 13th of 2020, it was 2 days before that, on March 11th of 2020, when the World Health Organization announced that the coronavirus was spreading worldwide, that it officially became a pandemic. At that point, on March 11th of 2020, Dr. Pate, 4,291 people had officially died from COVID. 3 years later, we're at almost 7 million COVID deaths.
It's really almost unfathomable.
Right.
And of course, what we saw as well here in the United States is the very frustrating aspect of this is we actually had more deaths in subsequent years from 2020 than we did in 2020 when we didn't know that much about the virus. But obviously in 2020, we also had the concern of the public. We had government and public taking measures that in hindsight clearly protected us from far more deaths. But what we saw over this, successive years is less and less concern on the part of the public and then more and more deaths, unfortunately.
I want to talk about some of the things we have learned in these 3 years, because one of the things that still sits with me is I think really in a lot of ways, the anxiety and the panic, I think that so many of us felt not knowing if we were going to get this, what would happen if you did? How contagious is it? I mean, just, and no safety from it, right?
Yes.
In the sense of there were no vaccines, right? I mean, it is the only time in my life where I literally had such a difficult time sleeping. I remember that very vividly. With that said, one of the things we learned is that vaccines are safe. They're effective, Dr. Pate. And I know you're still fighting that right now. But talk a little bit about what we learned, in particular about mRNA vaccines.
Yeah, well, there's so much we learned that is positive and so much we learned that is negative. I think on the positive side of things, I never dreamed that we could have vaccines that would be as effective as these were back then when we were dealing with this original virus, that were this safe and could be distributed in less than a year from the onset of infections in the United States. That is just earth-shattering, especially when you consider the development of most vaccines prior to this has taken many years, if not decades. And so we came up with the new mRNA technology. This is something that has been researched since the 80s, but we had never had a mRNA vaccine that was authorized by the FDA. And so this was a huge accomplishment. And the first thing we should learn is it was made possible by the fact that we had been doing this research for decades on vaccines. And I think that's an important lesson for us to take away, because I assure you, this is not our last pandemic. And I will tell you, there are many more viruses out there that have pandemic potential that really could make COVID look mild, even to those of us that do see how serious COVID can be. And so it is so important that we continue to invest in research and try to understand these viruses, that we do see limited outbreaks in other countries, and that we really invest in research of how can we develop tests to quickly identify an infection? How can we develop antivirals that will be effective if we face one of these viruses? How can we further improve our vaccines, even though the mRNA vaccines have been amazing, we have seen the limitation with respect to what we call mucosal immunity, or the ability to block the infection, in this case, in your nose, where we could stop you from even becoming infected. We need lots more research in that. So that was one lesson. Another lesson we saw was the amazing power of mobilizing scientists all across the world to focus on this disease and what we could achieve. I was a physician in training back when I saw my first HIV/AIDS cases. And of course, at that time, we didn't know what it was for sure. And what it has taken us decades to learn about the HIV virus, we've learned in 3 years with COVID. It's just been staggering how much we've learned. So that has been very powerful. What we've learned on the negative side is that, number one, there are tremendous incentives, especially in this day of social media, for people to engage in disinformation, financial incentives. And so we've seen that take off like crazy. And I've never seen, we've always had misinformation and disinformation, but nothing of this magnitude. And unfortunately, it has misled many, many people who have in turn paid for it with their lives or with their health. So that's been an important lesson. I think we've had another lesson also in how important scientific communication is. We've seen, and you and I have talked over the years, so many missteps on the part of the CDC. I'm not saying that they were ill-intentioned, but just missteps in communication that have really thwarted the full response we could have had. And then I think that what we've also learned is that the American public, and in fact, to a large extent, many parts of the world, have little patience for inconveniences. And yes, they may engage in it for short periods of time, but they're not going to be willing to do things that inconvenience them for a long period of time, especially if they themselves don't feel threatened and the motivation to participate is to protect others. We just didn't see as much support there as we needed.
And Dr. Pate, let's talk about also the fact of the politicizing this pandemic, right? I think that that is something that even when I think back on when I believe it was H1N1, and when that happened, and how just the mobilization of getting your little ones vaccinated. I mean, I remember literally having my husband stand in the line at the old Kmart off of Park Center at 6 a.m. to make sure we got a spot for our then, I believe, under 2-year-old to get vaccinated. It was not a political thing. I mean, there was a long line. Everyone wanted to protect their children. And then you fast forward, you know, a handful of years later to COVID. And I think that, you know, that was shocking. And also, with that said, I think that in some ways, we as Americans really didn't necessarily understand the seriousness of H1N1 because of how it was treated as this is a health issue. It's a public health issue. Get your child vaccinated. And then we did, and we moved on.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, many of my colleagues and I are really shocked by the degree of politicization of this pandemic. You know, previously, as we've had multiple threats, you know, going back to polio and other things, you know, our publicly elected officials have generally supported our efforts. It has been quite shocking how many in the Idaho legislature and how many in the U.S. Legislature have really impeded both the narrative and our actions. We have a prominent anti-vaxxer in the U.S. Congress, for heaven's sakes. And so it really is quite shocking. And of course, the reach that some of these people who are promoting disinformation that they have through cable networks or through social media has just done huge harm to the effort. And I certainly fear that we're not in any better situation when the next pandemic comes.
Well, as always, Dr. Pate, we so appreciate your time and your expertise. Seriously, I cannot believe it has been 3 years. I think that's part of it too. Is it's almost like it's like 3 years have just gone by so quickly when you're in the midst of a pandemic.
That every year. We're surprised we're still talking about this
every single time. Yeah. So, Dr. Pate, as always, thank you so much. Really appreciate you and your time.
Thank you, Gemma.
We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, talking about the three-year anniversary of COVID-19. It will be officially was marked as a pandemic on March 11th of 2020. The first COVID-19 case was found in Idaho on March 13th of 2020. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast White Lies.